really worship you. And as we look into your word, as we look into the creation moment as well, Lord, that we would see your hand in creation, in this season, and in your word, we hear your voice. And I pray that you would build in us the character that you want us to have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I look at the Christmas season and all that comes around with it, I couldn't help but think about the camel. Yeah, that seems kind of weird, doesn't it? The camel. There's two species of true camels. The dromedary, a single hump camel, lives in the Middle East and the Horn of Africa area. And the Bactrian is a two hump camel, lives in the area of Central Asia. Camels live to an average age of about 40 to 50 years. The name comes from the Arabic meaning beauty. I think when the Bedouins are out in the desert for a long period of time, that looks pretty good. Actually, they are kind of cute. Camels are about 6 foot one at the shoulder and about 7 foot one at the hump. Camels are capable of running as fast as 40 miles per hour for a short period of time and can maintain a speed of around 25 miles an hour. They do race them. A camel's hump does not store water. It stores fat, lessening the heat, trapping insulation around the rest of the body. They can survive up to 6 months without food or water by using up these fatty stores. One reason camels can go long periods without water is the shape of their red blood cells. This is really amazing. These are oval and will flow even when they are dehydrated rather than clumping as ours do. The camel is the only mammal to have oval red blood cells. That's just amazing. Camels can drink up to 40 gallons of water in one go. Some of you that have just a cup, you're wimps. 40 gallons in one go. Temperatures range from 94 to 106 degrees, and they don't have any problem with that. They don't even begin to sweat until they're over 106 degrees. They still are comfortable at temperatures up to 120 degrees. And there's very unique things that help them with that. A camel's long legs help to keep its body high from the hot desert surface, and a pad of thick tissue called a pedestal raises the body slightly when the camel sits, so cool air actually passes underneath. Camel's lips are split and help them to graze. I think now we have to reiterate the beauty. We have to maybe pull that back a little bit. They can eat anything, including thorny twigs, without injuring their mouths. Camels can kick in all four directions with each of their legs. Long eyelashes, ear hair, and closable nostrils keep sand from affecting the camel, while their wide feet help them move without sinking into the sand. The shape of their nostrils allows them to retain water vapor and return it to the body as fluid. Babies born with are born without humps. They won't develop this hump until they start to eat solid foods. They stay with mom for several years, and about 5 years old, they're able to carry full loads. They can lose 25% of body fluid without getting dehydrated. Most mammals can only lose 15%. Eating green plants gives them the moisture they need without drinking. Their coats reflect sunlight and insulate them from the desert heat. One of the camel's defenses is spitting, where they essentially throw up a foul-smelling green fluid in their stomach, and it goes all over you if you provoke them. For those who have experienced it, it seems never-ending, and it's never forgotten. I couldn't bear to put the reality up there. I had to put a cartoon up. Just so you get the impression. You know, again, camels uniquely suited for the desert areas. They used them in wars when they were in desert places because horses couldn't stand the heat and they had to have water more often, and camels can survive this. And what a unique animal that God has made, with oval red blood cells. Not any other animal has that. And how do you develop that without dying while you're developing it? You know, evolution is right out the window with these unique animals and suited for this area. And of course, we know that Mary probably didn't ride a camel, but the wise men probably did. And we're going to talk about the wise men. In fact, I have some trivia up on the screen. The first question, you don't have to answer it out loud. I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but how many gifts did the Magi bring? 4, 5, 3, or 7? Next question. What were they? Jewels, silver, perfume, tin, copper, dollar bills, parsley, oregano, I got that, okay, rosemary, gold, myrrh, and frankincense. How many Magi came? 5, 3, 7, or don't know? Next one. How did they know the baby was born? The Jerusalem newspaper? A star? A messenger, or an angel? Who did they meet for the first time in Jerusalem? Caesar, the Pope, Pilate, or Herod? That's my question. So as we go through this, you'll get the answers. If you may have gotten them all already, and you can correct yourself and figure it out. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 2 for the answers. Chapter 2 in Matthew, 1469 in your pew Bible. 1469, Matthew chapter 2. Through 18 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search of the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had returned or heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother Mary, with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told them to get up and move as well. So we're going to end right there. Obviously, some of the questions were answered by that, but I have some other questions. Questions that maybe go a little bit deeper. You know, why a star? Anybody ever asked that question? Why a star? Why did God use a star to show the Magi? And that brings up the next question. Why Magi? You know, why them? Why couldn't it have been people in Israel that would have caught the meaning? And what does it mean to me? What is it about this that I should take note of? So, why a star? Let's go to Psalm 148, 929 in your pew Bible. Psalm 148. There is some answers, and you'll be amazed at these answers, I think. Psalm 148, verses 1 through 6. First of all, Why does God use a star? Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the sky. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord. You know, God uses the sky. He created it. It praises Him. The stars, the sun and the moon. You know, scientists never thought much about that until they realized that when they started, you know, getting out into space and doing more and more out in space, that actually there is a noise that stars and planets give off, a sound, and much like music. They praise God. And so why shouldn't they proclaim His glory? Why shouldn't they show where the child was? But it goes even deeper than that. I want you to go all the way. You can keep your finger in Psalms if you'd like. Genesis chapter 1, all the way to the beginning. Day 4 of creation. Chapter 1 in Genesis 14 through 19. Chapter 1, starting verse 14, says, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years and sacred days." In some translations it says sacred days as well. "And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two lights, of course, the sun and the moon. Set them in the expanse of the sky to govern the day and the night, separate the light from the darkness. And God said that was good. He saw that it was good. It was evening, there was morning, the fourth day. These are meant to be signs. Stars and the things that God has created in the sky are for signs for us. And God has used them to warn us. You go through Revelation, you find that there's a lot of signs that go on in the sky above. And this was no different. This was a special time, a time when Jesus was born. The Messiah came to earth. And so God used a star to signify that, to show the people. Now, it was for whoever was looking. And so that brings us to the Magi. Who was looking? Who were the people looking in the sky? Magi. The people of Israel weren't. They forgot. They just kind of, you know, oh, wow, look at that. Big star. You know, what's that out for? I don't know. The Magi took note. They were open. They were looking. They were seekers. You know, the number of Magi, it says that the Scripture doesn't tell us how many, but popular belief, and as you go through historical records, usually the Magi traveled in numbers of 12. Interesting, isn't that? You know, 12 disciples, Magi, 12. They even had some names for them, but I didn't want to bring those up. We don't want to confuse the issue. But I want you to go to 846 in your pew Bible, Psalm 72. If you had your finger in Psalms, you can whip right to it. 846, Psalm 72. Very interesting psalm here. Prophetic in what it was, what it stated. Starting at verse 10, Psalm 72, starting at verse 10. "The kings of Tarshish and distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow to him, bow down to him, and all nations will serve him." Skip down to verse 15. "Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people even ever pray for him and bless him all day long." If you read even more, you see in verses latter part of verse 17, "All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed." Isn't that amazing? Prophetic. Kings will come to him. Magi, rulers, individuals who are of great standing will come and will worship him. Will give him gifts. One of the gifts even mentioned, gold. You know, we can see that they were a priestly lot. The priestly caste. That's what Magi actually refers to, as a priestly caste. They paid particular attention to the stars. But, you know, the name Magi kind of was morphed into magic. But I'll tell you what, they strongly opposed sorcery. They were not into sorcery. They were into watching the stars and reading the books of prophecy and historical books. And they searched. They were seekers. The scripture says they came from the east. Well, literally, the word east meant from the rising sun. And so they came from somewhere in the east. Doesn't name where they're at, but the tradition says they were Babylonians, Persians, and Yemen. They found the baby. And I want you to go to Matthew. Go back to Matthew chapter 2. We'll stay there for a little while. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. Remember, when they got there, and first thing I want to point out, when you go to verse 11, it says, on coming to the house, they're not in the manger anymore. Well, that's interesting, but we'll see that in a second. The Magi came to Herod, and he asked them, when did you see the star? And they told him. Now, that has an important factor in this. They came to a house, so this is sometime later. And if you think about it, if they came from the east, from a distance away, they saw the star, that was when the birth of Jesus came, and then they had to travel. Now they had to pack up. And it wasn't just three guys, because they would have been killed and waylaid in the desert. There was a lot of burglars, a lot of, you know, bad guys out in the desert. So, you know, they had to travel in a caravan. And so you think about how fast the caravan's going to travel, and how, you know, a camel may be able to go 25 miles an hour steadily, but people aren't able to do that. You ride a camel. I don't know if you ever rode a camel, but they're not the easiest thing to ride. And so they didn't travel very far each day. And they would settle down and pitch tents and camp. And, of course, you didn't travel during the midday sun. Most of the time you traveled in the evening hours or very early mornings. And so it took them a long time. It could have took them a year to travel that distance. But that brings up another point. They were so convicted and so committed to finding the Christ child, to finding this special event, they were willing to sacrifice their time to travel that distance to find this special event. This was special. This was amazing. So verse 11 says, coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother. Now, they may have been outside playing, or, you know, she was watching him outside. Who knows what? But they came to him and bowed down and worshipped him. They bowed down and worshipped him. These magi, priestly caste, coming from such a distance, and they recognized who he was. They bowed down and worshipped him, and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a symbol of kingship. He gave gold to kings as tribute to them. Remember Solomon and all the kings, when there would be other nations and they would come, they would bring gold to the king. Frankincense symbolizes deity, because they would burn incense in the places of worship. And this was to symbolize the spirit, deity. So God. Myrrh, you know, this one's one of the most nasty, you know, it's not that it's a nasty herb or spice, but it talks about embalming. You know, this is something that they use to embalm a body. This speaks of our mortality and death and sacrifice. And that's what Jesus was. They gave him gold because he's king of all creation. Frankincense, he's God, the creator. And myrrh, because he was there to give a sacrifice. Truly, these wise men sought him and found him. God put signs out there. He gave the alert. He puts it out there. And only the Magi were the ones that found him because they're seekers. You know, and that's the question that we have. You know, how about me? What about me? You know, am I seeking? Am I looking for him? Am I wanting to find what he wants for me? Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Are you seekers? Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it be given to you. Seek and you will find." God has given us all the information, all the signs. He's given us his word. All we have to do is seek. You know, I remember we'd play hide and seek with the grandkids. You know, a little illustration about seeking God. You know, we'd get them out there and we'd say, "All right, time for you to hide." We'd count to 10 or whatever it was. And, you know, they'd find some really good places to hide now. You know, but we'd say, "I wonder where they are." And then you'd hear them go, "I'm here." You ever have that happen? The kids can't stand it. When you say, "I wonder where they are." "Where are the dogs?" You know, just like that. They call out. They give you signs. They try to tell you, "Here we are." You know, it would be really horrible if you sat on the couch and just said, "I wonder where they are." They say that and you never go find them. You know, there was a cartoon about that, and it had a closet, and there was a skeleton in the closet, and it said the winner of the 2000 hide and go seek championship. You know, we need to seek. God put it all out there. He's calling us. He's calling out. "I'm over here. Look at the star. Jesus is there. Look at creation. Look at all the things that I've done for you. I'm here. Look at the word, my word to you and all it says and changed lives. I'm here." And we're sitting on the couch, not looking. What an insult to God. You know, we need to be seekers. We need to look for him. The Magi did it. They were wise men. They were intelligent men. And they sought him out. They sought him with all their heart. And they found him. They sacrificed time and energy. And when they found him, they worshiped him. And I think this Christmas season, boy, that's exactly what we need to do. Worship him when we find him. Let's have a word of prayer. I want to just have a word of prayer. And, you know, maybe you're looking for him. Maybe you came today and you're looking for him. You know, and I don't I don't do altar calls. But I do want to make it available, you know, that if somebody wants to know more, if you want to know more, even if you're a Christian, been a Christian for a while, you want to know more about what to do. We got some little pamphlets and stuff, and Phil is going to stand up here, you know, later on, and you just make your way up to him, and he'll share through those booklets and give you some insight, pray with you, whatever is on your mind. Maybe something's going on, and you'd like some prayer. You come on up when we cut out. Just make your way up here. Nobody's going to see it unless somebody's watching, but that's okay. Come on up and get some prayer, get some information, because we want you to go into this Christmas season with Jesus in your heart, so you can worship him and find him just as the Magi did. So let's just take a moment, have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing this last song. Father, thank you so much for the signs you give us, that it's not a blind faith. It's not a faith that you demand us to just believe in and not ask any questions. It's a faith that gives us information. We know things. The Magi just didn't walk out and spend a year in the desert because they weren't informed. They were well informed. They knew what was going on, and they wanted to find this great event that happened, the Messiah, the Christ child. Lord, we pray that is in the heart of everyone here, that we are seekers and we want to find you. And Lord, if there's somebody here that hasn't ever done that, Lord, I pray that you would build in them that desire to seek with all their heart so they would find you, that their eternal destiny would be secured in you. Lord, we thank you so much for this Christmas season. I pray that you bless it and allow us to just worship you through this time. We pray now for your blessings as we sing this final song. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll sing First Noel. There's three verses up on the screen. Three verses.